Hi everyone, this is Danny.
And this is Charissa, ready to bring you Looking Up.
Starting right after this song.
Sacrifice. So like a lamb to the slaughter, he laid down his life.
He came down a lamb, came up a lion, power in his hand, true king of Zion. And all the power of hell, for he was dying.
As the lamb was fading fast, Satan roared in victory as Jesus breathed his last. The demons celebrated all the evil they had done, but the celebration ended.
Everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right. And if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun. So catch you then.
Look full in his wonderful face.
My face. Up to thee.
I lift my eyes to you, my Lord, my God.
Good afternoon, everyone. You are listening to a live broadcast of The Looking Up Show. My name is Sharissa, and I'm joined here in studio by my co-host, Danny. How are you, Danny?
I'm praising the Lord, my friend, and yeah, super happy to be here again on another Looking Up Show.
Absolutely. And we're keeping ourselves on air today. So pray for us. We're missing our producer, Rochelle. She's not doing so well health-wise, but she tells me she's listening to us. So big shout out to
fantastic.
You, Rochelle.
She's an amazing member of our team. I texted her today saying, you know, we're going to really miss you. But, you know, I just love the input she puts in, you know. She just weighs in at just the right time, and yeah, her insights are wonderful. So we're missing you, Rochelle, but we're hoping you'll get better. Yes. And you'll be joining us the next time round.
That's right. And we are so glad that you are all listening to us too. We hope someone's listening, but we're looking forward to hearing from you through our live broadcast. It happens to be Wednesday, the 9th of April. And so if you have any comments or questions you'd like to raise for us to consider on our broadcast today, we'd love to hear from you. 0488 17624 is the number to keep handy, and you probably will want to use it, I imagine, because we have a special guest coming in just a little bit later in today's program who you're going to enjoy. You might even have some questions for him, so feel free to make use of the number 0488 17624, as there is so much to talk about in the world as it relates to Bible prophecy. On that note, Danny, what are we going to focus our discussion on today?
Well, you're talking about a lot of things happening in the world. And, you know, last week when we were on the show, we were literally on the eve of this huge announcement.
That's right.
Coming out of the United States of America, you know, the epicenter of end time Bible prophecy. And that is why we track, you know, what's taking place in the United States on all different levels. And so, yeah, we were on the eve of Liberation Day.
That's right.
And so we now have the first week of what Liberation Day looks like for America and for the rest of the world. And Justin's going to weigh in on this. I'm not going to say too much more. He's our special guest from the Perfect Storm Faith FM program, which is a fantastic program. Every Friday it is. Every Friday. So we're going to hear more from Justin in just a few moments. But yeah, what happened this past week was seismic. Mm-hmm. You know, Justin used that language as well on his program last week when they aired. It is beyond what we can imagine, beyond what we can think. Last time the world economic order was reset in this way, turned upside down, was at the end of World War II. Mm. And World War II obviously came to an end, and so the global world economic order had to be reset. We talked about that last time. Remember Bretton Woods? Mm-hmm. And in one of the articles that you sent me from the ABC News, they mentioned Bretton Woods 1945, when a number of countries came together, those that were victorious in the war, and they established this new world economic order that we currently have. Well, that we currently had up until a week ago, and that's been turned on its head. So we're going to take a look at not just the headlines. We're not going to just simply regurgitate the news headlines, which people that are...
There's plenty of that.
There's plenty of that, and people are watching and they're seeing what's taking place on stock markets and just... Yeah. You know, everything that's taking place now. But we want to take a look at things from a prophetic point of view.
Sure.
What does prophecy have to say in connection with what just happened during the last week? Where may things be heading? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we're going to unpack that. And ultimately, we want to give hope, because I was going
that's
through...
That's what Looking Up does.
That's what the Looking Up show is all about.
Look up.
We want to give hope, because as I've been listening to the various talking heads around the world, you know, sharing on this incredible seismic economic shift that has taken place, there has been no hope. There has been no Christ. There has been no scripture. It's all just simply been either doom or gloom or hope, you know, in the ways and the means of man and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So we want to take a look at what the Bible has to say.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited about that, and I hope our listeners are looking forward to that. We do want to remind you of some things, apart from the fact that this is a live broadcast, that if you ever miss a broadcast of this program or any program that happens on the Faith FM station, go to the faithfm.com.au website, and there you can find every episode of every program uploaded as a podcast, and you can download them and listen to them and share them with friends as well. Some great material and lots of great programs here. Danny's mentioned The Perfect Storm, that's one. There's a whole bunch of other programs out there, The Faith Experiment, The Marriage Project. Go and have a look. There's The Drive Time Show from Adelaide as well. So yeah, definitely would recommend everybody get that and get the app, because it makes listening to Faith FM when you're driving around town and maybe you don't have access to good tower reception, you can always have a good reception if you've got data with the Faith FM app. So on that note, I'm really looking forward to our program today. Really looking forward to hearing from Justin in just a moment. But before we do, we're going to have a song by JJ Heller entitled Your Hands. Speaking of the hands of God, the best hands to put your life in the whole world. We pray you're blessed by this song. Enjoy.
I have unanswered prayers. I have trouble I wish wasn't there. And I've asked a thousand ways you would take my pain away. You would take my pain away. I am trying to understand how to walk this weary land. Make straight the paths that crooked lie. Oh Lord, before these feet of mine. Oh Lord, before these feet of mine. When my world is shaking, heaven stands. When my heart is breaking, I never leave your hand. On the earth, you healed the broken, lost, and hurt. I know you hate to see me cry. One day you will set all things right. Yeah, one day you will set all things right. When my world is shaking, heaven stands. When my heart is breaking, I never leave your hands. Your hands, your hands that shape the world are holding me, they hold me still. When my world is shaking, heaven stands. When my heart is breaking, I never leave you. When my world is shaking, heaven stands. When my heart is breaking, I never leave your hands.
And that was JJ bringing to us Your Hands, and you are listening to a live broadcast of the Looking Up Show. And in case you haven't already heard, we have a special guest about to join us.
Yes, indeed.
And so I'm going to hand the interviewing reins over to you, Danny. Maybe I'll get a word in.
Oh, you might get a word. Maybe.
let's hope we hear him.
Yes, we have the one and only Justin Lawman all the way from the nation's capital. Welcome, my friend Justin. Our friend Justin.
Robert. Brother Danny and Sharissa, how are you?
We're just happy we can hear you.
This is Sharissa, Justin, and she is multitasking like our friend Rochelle.
I tell you, mate, she's really showing us up badly here. She's amazing.
She is amazing. There was the thought of me doing what she's doing, and after 3 seconds, they decided against it. So I can barely make any sense when I'm concentrating completely on what I'm supposed to be doing. But anyway, Justin, hey, welcome back to the Looking Up Show. And I have a sense, Justin, the way things are motoring along in the world, we're probably going to be hearing from you more rather than less in the coming weeks and months as this Trump train is really moving into high gear. So, thank you so much for joining us. Our listeners really appreciate you sharing, your thoughts, your not only news analysis, but more importantly, your prophetic analysis of some of the titanic movements that are taking place. So thank you so much.
Mm. Yeah, no worries. We really are living in amazing times. It doesn't matter what your view is on prophecy or anything. Everyone has to agree. This is getting quite crazy how intense things are getting.
Mm, it's incredible. It's incredible. So I listened to your program from last week. I listened to it not once but twice. I was really taken.
I'm a true fan.
I was traveling back from one of your favorite places, Justin, from the Stewart's Point campground last
brother.
Night.
just come from Jindabyne, mate. I've just got back in my office.
Oh, mate, so it doesn't stop, does it? So, yeah, we had pre-camp, big camp set up. So in case some of our listeners are wondering, what on earth is this big camp idea? It's when, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 Seventh-day Adventists and others get together at a place called Stewart's Point there in between Coffs Harbour and Kempsey on the Central Coast. And we get together for 10 days and, we seek to encourage one another through fellowship, through faith and through lots of food and having a great time.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So
it's awesome.
Great.
We start on Friday in Jindabyne.
Oh,
but we only have about 600 people. That's the difference, mate. We're a bit smaller.
Yes. It's a beautiful place, Jindabyne. Beautiful.
Yeah,
place.
Love it. 4 degrees this morning, mate. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Wow.
So Justin, as I was returning last night and last Friday as I was listening in to your show, you mentioned the phrase seismic shift in connection with this new world economic order that Donald Trump rolled out literally a week ago on April 2, which will go down in history as a huge turning point in the world and especially world economy. Do you want to sort of unpack for us, like, how seismic is this economic shift that took place when Donald Trump made his big Liberation Day announcement and showed off his reciprocal tariffs chart there in the Rose Garden at the White House?
Yeah, look, he's taken a novel approach. Let's be neutral on the politics of all this and just look at what's going on, because people, they tend to have emotional reactions regarding Donald. So we're not going to go to any of that. We'll just say, well, let's look at what he's doing. And in his mind and his team's mind, there's two big things they're trying to counter. The first one, let's say it's the corporate wealth and how quickly wealth has been accumulated into the top 2 or 3 and 10% even. Let's go generous into this corporate class that is very, very wealthy. They've got wealthy over the last 20 years by really America becoming their economy rather than being industrial and producing goods through factories and manufacturing. They've done it through finances and going into lots of debt. They've accumulated a huge $37 trillion nearly now of debt. And that's hollowed out the middle class and the lower classes because their good jobs are going, what their dollar can buy is getting less and less because inflation always follows debt. So he has sort of just thrown down the gauntlet and doesn't care that the stock market might have a few corrections and that end of town will continue to leak wealth. And that wealth he wants to bring back to the middle and the working class, the lower classes, with better jobs and better paying. So that's one thing he's trying to do. But I think the most significant thing in all this is China. And in Bible prophecy, there's only one nation at the end that is dominating the world. And we've said the lamb like beast. He said it's America. And for me, we don't have the time to unpackage all that. You do that, Danny. And Sharissa, but you will. But this is, at the moment, they were the only nation after Russia collapsed and the Soviets. And now China has come up amazingly through America being lazy. Let's say that. That they haven't wanted to do the hard work of manufacture. They let countries with a lower value dollar do all the manufacturing and they just simply consume. And that hasn't got a long-term existence. America's going to bleed out and become, well, become poor. And their dollar will collapse further and they will be not the the most favored nation. So Trump, in his mind, has thrown down the gauntlet and said, no, this is going to stop. And I think this is, if it stays as it is, this is the end of China's economy because they have been built on the United States as their market. And all of a sudden, Trump is saying, no, I want all the factories back and we're going to tariff you 34%. Oh, you're going to do that back to me? Let's put another 50% on that. So
it was 20%. There was 20% to start.
It was already there, so it's 54. So now it's 104. So they, China can't sustain this because China has a big demographic problem. Their population peaked in 2010, and due to their one-child policy, they've not got a lot of people coming through the system to buy houses and keep the economy growing like we would. So this is a death knell to their economy. So they are now faced with a choice. They submit to America could be one of the choices and give it all away and let Trump do what he's doing. Or they try and fight economically, devalue their currency, do all the things they've been doing. Or we get ourselves in a kinetic war with them and it starts with Taiwan. So all these things are now absolutely on the table.
Wow.
And they're on the table not years from now. They're on the table this year. Something's going to have to break here. Trump has sped this up unbelievably. So that's kind of a little simple overview. According to Justin, there'll be people who have different takes on it. That's fine. That's my take on what I see happening.
Well, that's fascinating. I was just taking a look at this Time magazine front cover that I used to wave around in my seminars, Justin, way back in the day.
They were the good days, Danny. They were the good days.
Way back in the day, like 20-plus years ago, and people used to think I was a little bit of a loony tune. They still think that, and that I was kind of like, you know, just being a little bit over the top. But here is this front cover, Justin, from August 4, 1997. Okay, so this is going back what, almost 30 years. August 11, 1997. Front cover of Time magazine. This was the headline: Has America become a global bully? Has America become a global bully? That was back in 1997. And the reason why I was reminded of that. Of that front cover of Time magazine, which I've used in my seminars, is because of what China has said in connection with the United States. As you're well aware, they have labeled the United States, you know, a bully in connection with, you know, what Donald Trump's been doing, and especially this latest 50% tariff that literally went into effect, you know, just under 2 hours ago, our local time here, on the eastern seaboard. So does this fit in with Bible prophecy? You mentioned that according to Bible prophecy, according to the book of Revelation, that the United States will be that lone world superpower, yet, you know, China has been gradually, you know, moving up the ladder when it comes to, you know, the share of the world economy. And I'll just give you one stat before you answer to this. Back in 1990, the Chinese made up 1.8% of the world economy. The United States made up 25% of the world's economy, GDP. In 2024, China's made up 16% of the world's economy, and the US is 26%. So weigh in on what the Bible actually says, because a lot of people, I don't know about you, but a lot of people were asking me, okay, I know what you're saying about the United States being the lone world superpower in Revelation 13 and causing the whole world and those who dwell in it to, you know, worship a certain way. But look at China. Look at China's rise. And I just went online and I had a look. And yes, it has risen, like what I said, like from, what, 1.8% to 16% in a matter of 24 years of world economic output.
Yeah, and it's always good to remember the Chinese people, some of the best hardworking people I know, fellow church members, 300 million Christians in China, 90 million members in the Communist Party. So we are talking about this, the Communist Party of China when we're talking China now, because that's who's ruling. And they don't have that firmer grasp. They fear Christianity because they triple the numbers of Christians as there are to the members in the Communist Party. But they have gone on a whirlwind tour, and let me say, America has enabled that. Like, Trump is coming out saying, everyone's treating us badly. America set this up. This is, they gave them the most favored nation status. It was George Bush the first that sort of did that after Tiananmen Square, where Russia fell. China could have fallen at the same time, but instead, they were used as a manufacturing base. And now the consequences of that, here's a big lesson. Everyone thinks, I'll put it off to another day. Well, that another day has sort of arrived now.
So kicking because the can down the
putting,
road.
They've kicked it down the road. Well, at some point, your foot's going to get sore and you won't be able to kick it anymore. And we've almost, it seems to me that we've come to the place where they're no longer kicking the can. Let's go further into debt, because the debt is the big ticking time bomb. They have to I think they've got to refinance about $9 trillion just this year, America, and the interest rate on that will be higher than it was when they did it, because they've been doing short-term sort of things to get lower interest rates. This is a killer to anyone. About 6 or 7% of the GDP, that's the debt ratio, they're about 6%. They have stated, Trump's team, they want to get it to 3. How are you going to do that? Well, this is how they're going to do that. And if you think it can be done without pain, you haven't done it. This is going to be very painful. And the reason they kick it down the road is no one wants to face the sacrifice and the pain. So here comes the pain. How will it work out? Will it work out through the stock market, through a war? There's something's going to pop here shortly. This is now on the table, and I can't see how this can be stepped back. And at the same time, they got bombers ready to fly over Iran and deal with their nuclear thing. And how is Russia and Ukraine still not resolved? So this is getting chirpy, and it's really good to know how the story ends. And the story ends with Jesus. He is the reason. But we are living in very, very turbulent times. We can expect them to get worse. But it's okay, because we know how the story ends.
Amen.
I think at this point, that's a perfect setup for Sandra Enterman to bring us the song Ready for the Storm.
And then we'll have Justin, because I've got a few more things that I need to ask you, Justin. You got a bit more time of grace for us, brother?
Yeah, mate, it keeps me away from putting
tents up.
Okay,
all right. Fantastic. Well, don't go away, folk. We're going to be listening and connecting with Justin some more after this song. Ready for the Storm. Wow, that's a perfect song.
The waves crash in, the tide rolls out. It's an angry there's no doubt that the lighthouse will keep shining out to warn a lonely sailor. And the lightning strikes and the wind cuts cold through the sailor's bones, through the sailor's soul, till there's nothing left that he can hold except a rolling ocean. Oh, I am ready for the storm. Yes, sir, ready. I am ready for the storm. I'm ready for the storm. Da 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 da. Oh, give me mercy for my dreams, 'cause every confrontation seems to tell me what it really means to be this lonely sailor. And when the sky begins to clear, the sun, it melts away my tears, and I cry a silent, weary tear for those who mean to love me. Oh, I am ready for the storm. Yes, sir, ready. I am ready for the storm. I'm ready for the storm. The distance, it is no real friend. And time will take its time, and you will find that in the end, it brings you me, this lonely sailor. And when you take me by the hand, and you love me, Lord, you love me, and I should have realized I had no reasons to be frightened. Oh, I am ready for the storm. Yes, sir, ready. I am ready for the storm. Yes, sir, ready. I am ready for the storm. Yes, sir, ready. I am ready for the storm. I'm ready for the storm.
You're listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Do you have Bible questions? Join me, Lyle, at 5 o'clock every Thursday during Afternoons with Sil. We give Bible answers for all your difficult questions. Our commitment? We will leave no Bible question unanswered. So send in your questions to The Shell Show on 0488 880856.
Looking Up program. We're so excited that you're joining us for today's live broadcast. And a reminder that we always have a free giveaway with every broadcast. And this week, it's none other than a Bible marking guide that was actually put together by our special guest that's online right now.
Amen.
I think he's still there. Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Praise the Lord.
He'd rather be here than putting up tents. You heard him.
That's right. So just keep listening and enjoying the program.
We won't tell anyone that he's the conference president.
So. That's right. yes. So we will give away the code word in case people are interested in obtaining this amazing Bible marking guide. It's a fantastic guide that goes through all different Bible topics, including those related to Bible prophecy. It will be a blessing to you, and you can share it with your friends. We'll give you the code word because we have an unlimited number of these available today. But the number to keep handy for that code word and even any comments or questions you might have for the interview or later in the program is 0488 87624.
Fantastic. And that song that we listened to, Ready for the Storm.
Perfect.
Ready for the Storm. And yeah, Justin is one of the three co-hosts on The Perfect Storm. Faith FM program, fantastic program, airs Friday 4:30 on the Faith FM network. You can go onto the app or onto the website and you can listen to past editions since they began. I think last year, was it towards the end of last year, somewhere there, Justin?
Mate, I can't even remember. but
so much, has happened in the last 2.5 months. the rest of the time is a bit of a blur. So, and also you can go on the YouTube. You can go on YouTube and on the Faith FM YouTube site, and the Perfect Storm program is there for you to view. And you can see what they look like, which might be scary, a little bit scary, which is a little bit scary. So yeah, I do need to warn you. I do need to warn you ahead of time. But it's interesting that your show, Justin, is called The Perfect Storm. And I was reflecting on these words. I'm not sure if this line that I'm about to share with you from an author that wrote more than a century ago that you are well familiar with, that our listeners would be well familiar with, Ellen White, who wrote that classic on Bible prophecy called The Great Controversy, which we encourage everyone to read or to listen to. Great book. But there in, not in that book, but in another part of her writings, Ellen White writes, "A storm is coming, relentless in its fury. Are we prepared to meet it?" Wow. These are sober words in line with, you know, your program, The Perfect Storm. So we are seeing this seismic shift, as we've been talking about, and things are changing rapidly. I mean, we kind of sort of chuckle a little bit at some of the things that have gone down, like, you know, these two islands here in Australia, what were they, that had either, where did I write it down?
Penguins on them.
Yeah, the penguins on them. One of them being McDonald Island. I can't remember what the other one was, and Norfolk Island also. You know, we kind of sort of joke around a little bit about some of these things that came through, but the reality is, you know, these tariffs from the United States of America flexing its muscle are worldwide. More than 180 countries were targeted, including the penguins, including North Macedonia, I noticed. I went online.
Oh, not the Macedonians.
Even the land of Alexander the Great. I'm telling you, Donald Trump has no fear of anyone. Not even those who are the descendants. The descendants of Alexander the Great, they were not even spared. And even though we contribute to less than 1% of America's total imports, guess how much he was... Guess how much he taxed us, Sharissa?
How much?
You would not believe it. He taxed us 33%.
Wow.
So that means the all-important goat's milk that will be imported to the U.S. will cost them 33% more.
Wow.
How will Macedonia cope, mate?
I don't know, North Macedonia. But, those two islands were Heard and McDonald Islands, you know, some 4,000 kilometres away from, you know, the southwest point of Perth, you know, closer to Antarctica than Australia. And so, yeah, so some of these little things we kind of laugh a little bit. But this is no laughing matter what is taking place around the world. I mean, you've got 70-odd countries that are lining up to have a meeting with Donald Trump and his team in order to try and, you know, negotiate these tariffs, because it's going to be crippling them, including some of these really poor nations like Vietnam, where are we here? You know, I looked at some other ones. Thailand, they've got enormous tariffs on them. You know, Cambodia, 49% Cambodia. So please explain to me, how does all this work? How does all this work, like, from a prophetic point of view? Like, this appears to me that the words of Revelation 13 here, in harmony, in connection with the United States of America, that we will unpack a lot more, you know, after we've had the opportunity to hear from you a little more, and you've got to head off and pitch tents again. But it talks here in Revelation 13, 16 and 17, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, so the Cambodians as well as the European Union and the Chinese and everyone in between, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, we're not going to get into all the details of that, but what I want to bring out here, Justin, and have you comment, is this something, well, what's been happening the last week, does this appear to be moving us on that road to where this lamb-like beast, the United States of America, will indeed flex its muscles to both the rich and the poor.
Yeah, and if you think how we have lived through the United States since the Second World War in our lifetimes, it's been a benevolent superpower. It's been everyone's friend, so to speak. Okay, they've done some nasty stuff, but generally they haven't exerted their power. If you think of Jesus is born in a manger, he's born in a stable. Why is that happening? Because the Caesar, the Romans, had determined the whole world was to be taxed, and everyone had to go back to their birthplace. Because you know what, Rome, they went on till, 476 AD, after all those events, they were the world superpower of the time, Rome. And if they said the whole world was going to be taxed, guess what? There's nothing the rest of the world could do about it because they had the armies, they had the military might. We have never known America to behave this way. It's like, you go there on holidays and they're our friend, they bail us out in wars and we trade with them, they trade with us, we like their motorbikes and cars and their people and their music and all that culture. Well, all of a sudden, they are actually acting like a superpower would to the whole world, and we're not used to that. Hey, if they wanted to, they could do much worse than this.
True.
And what could anyone do about it? That's what Rome was like back in the first century, the birth of Jesus. So this is definitely a change, and we're all sort of in shock. But what are we going to do? Like, our prime minister came out and said, this defies logic and everything else, but we're not going to do anything because we know that, we can't. They're just too big and powerful, and we have to get along with them for our own security's sake. Because if they abandon us, we have not a chance in any war. We're just too big a landmass. So we need America, and America knows that somewhat, and they are doing what they do to fix their own problem. This is nationalism. That's another thing we're not used to. Now, we love our sporting games, and we beat the Kiwis on a rare occasion and all that sort of stuff. But when it comes, we've been globalists. We take in stuff from all over the world. They manufacture. We just sort of get rid of all the barriers in the nation states. Well, that's really not a biblical concept. In the Bible, we have kings and kingdoms and nation states. And here we are, one nation caring about its interests above everyone else's. And I think this is a, we don't, every little step, every little news day is not a fulfillment of prophecy. But we are slowly but surely, and now not so slowly, rapidly, we are coming towards the place the Bible describes at the end of time, where this one power would dominate the earth in a way that was dragon-like, not lamb-like. So looks like a lamb, speaks like a dragon. This is now the shift that's taking place, and it has not been very subtle. It's been brutal and swift, and everyone's in a panic. I'm telling you, folks listening on the radio, you haven't seen anything yet. What's described there is a pretty tumultuous time, a time of trouble, such as never was, Jesus said. So this is a time to get spiritually strong. This is a time to get your house in order with the Lord.
Amen.
And it's not found in, burying some stuff up in the bush and getting ready with my doomsday bunker. Your doomsday bunker is Jesus. Get ready with him because it's all happening. It's all coming slowly but surely, and then not as slow or very fast. It's coming to a head, and it's an exciting time to be alive. Is like I like to think about it. It's amazing to see these things. And we're not really sure how we're going to get there, but we know we're going to get there. And that's what we're witnessing right now.
So there's a convergence of many things taking place. You know, you've got the church and state uniting at the moment in the US. We've obviously talked about the economy. We've got the military uncertainty, you know, the political uncertainty. And, you know, this coming Saturday, Donald Trump's having a meeting apparently and his team with Iran, you know, a direct meeting. And he has said very clearly after meeting with the Prime Minister of Israel just the other day that unless they're willing to play ball according to the ways of Israel, and we know that Israel and the US have very close ties for very important reasons other than political. There's the whole religious element there. But we don't even know how that's going to go. So there's so much uncertainty in the world.
And there's, we put on top of all that AI and this new paradigm that we're going to work in where everything we know from medicine and particularly the military is these self-learning computers that are able to do things we couldn't even believe or imagine. So it's all coming to a head very rapidly. And we, we need to keep close to the Lord and remember that it's our faith and our faith in God and his promises that will get us through anything.
Amen.
And it's interesting that, that's what you, you've just talked about our faith in God. And, you know, in Revelation 14:12, at the end of that third angel's message that speaks about, you know, that where God warns in connection with receiving the mark of the beast. It says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. So they have this rock solid faith and they are able and prepared to meet this storm that is coming, as that author from more than a century ago put it, relentless in its fury, something that, you know, we cannot even begin to imagine what it will be like, you know. Sometimes things
And we can't escape it, Danny. We can't escape it. It's coming. And you won't be able to just sort of sidestep it and it'll pass. It's going to be everywhere. It's all-consuming. It will be economic. You won't be able to buy or sell unless you receive the mark. And we're in that situation today where if the government so chose, they can freeze everything we have. And what could we do about it? So that's the time we live. It's all coming to a head. And all this is, we're given this warning. So when it does happen, we'll believe and we won't be scared and terrified. Oh, you know, men's hearts failing them for fear, Jesus said, of the things coming on the earth. That's not us.
No.
We're excited. We lift up our heads because our redemption's drawing near. Bring it on, because at the other side of this terrible thing, here is the return of Jesus to the world.
Amen.
Sharissa, did you have anything else you needed to add?
Just a great appreciation for having Justin here on the program and explaining so simply for myself and all of our listeners just how things are. And, yeah, the most important thing is to have a relationship with Jesus, because that's what he said. It's the bottom line.
So that giveaway that Justin's put together, that Bible marking, will help you prepare to meet the storm.
That's right. That's true. And we'll give away the code word. Maybe we should do that right after this.
I think we will. But we want to thank you, Justin. And just keep on that goat's milk, brother, and you will do well. That's going to help you in the end of time, mate. Don't you worry about that.
I've got to get myself a goat, a nanny goat, mate.
Absolutely. Thanks again, mate, and look forward to chatting to you again soon. God
bless you, guys.
God bless. Thank you.
Holy Father, all-knowing Spirit, come remind me of the truth. It was known in the garden before I wandered off and forgot that all I need is you. It's in the secret place I find you, I find you. And in your presence is a tower of refuge. My eyes are open to a
It's in the secret place I find my freedom.
That was a beautiful song, and you are listening to the Looking Up program. We're so glad that you're joining us today. I have here a text from Ben who says he can hear us very well where he is. So he texted last week about your club as well.
Oh, yes. Oh, I haven't got in touch with you, Ben, I will do that. I'm sorry. Charissa did pass on your number to me. My apologies. It was a bit of a crazy week, so yeah. I'll use that as an excuse. But I will get in touch with you, Ben. It'd be lovely to chat to you.
That's right, and we're glad you're joining us. And so today we mentioned already, Justin was – I really enjoyed that interview.
Oh, yeah. He's able – he's got a gift. We were talking about that in the break. He really has a gift to be able to pull all the pieces together – in a very simple way, to explain it in a very simple way, but also filled with hope, filled with, you know, connecting the prophetic dots. So he's got a real gift to do that. That's why we love to have him on the show.
Absolutely.
And he's got a great sense of humor.
Yeah. That's right. Well, he has put together this Bible marking guide. I have a copy. I know you have a copy. Indeed. It is really good. It goes through all kinds of Bible topics, including those related to Bible prophecy. And I'm thinking if our listeners out there are wanting a deeper study of God's word, because we've just highlighted that that's the most important thing right now in this world, to have a relationship with Jesus and his word, the Bible is the way we can connect with God, then you need this Bible marking guide. And so important. Our producer here has told us we have unlimited copies, which means everyone who texts today the code word can receive it. So the code word is
LU25 Echo.
All right.
ECHO.
LU25 Echo ECHO. Text that through to 04-888-17624. And everybody who does so will be a recipient of this beautiful Bible marking guide.
Fantastic. All right, just a couple of things. I failed to give a shout out to some of our listeners that said they would be listening.
I got some too.
And so I've got Sue from Boolaroo Church. She's listening. And so big shout out to you.
God bless you.
One of my best mates, Eddie, he's having a 20th wedding anniversary tomorrow.
Wow.
So that's really exciting. And so he's one of our listeners. And Steve, my mechanic, I bumped into him today. Yeah, bumped into him today. He's here in Currumbong. He's a great mechanic. If you're living in Currumbong or the surrounding area, Lake Macquarie, Newcastle, anyway, this guy is a top-notch mechanic. Lovely guy. So if you're listening, Steve, still a big shout-out to you, mate. And, yeah, he was just we always talk about what's going on. He's also he's got his finger on the pulse and just taking a look at what's going on in the world. And, yeah, we're just sharing the very, you know, the upheaval. And I really do believe that there's only hope to be found in the message that we have had for the last 3,500 to 2,000 years, you know, the scriptures. That's the only hope. And it's really interesting because our friend Jackie Lambie.
We got so many friends.
Yeah, we do. You know who Jackie Lambie is? She's a Tasmanian senator in the federal parliament. She's sort of heads up the Jackie Lambie network. So she's a Tasmanian independent senator. And she was interviewed in connection with, you know, would Australia be better off under Labor or Liberal? We kind of almost forget that we're in an election. Mm. We're in a few weeks' time, we're going to be going to the polls. Well, Australians will be going to the polls, Charissa, on May 3, I think it is.
I'm getting lots in my mailbox.
Yeah, but with everything that's happening overseas, and especially in the United States, with this, you know, this economic seismic shift, it's kind of almost on the back burner, our federal election politics. But anyway, when she was asked, you know, how would we fare under, you know, this government or that government? She basically said, well, we're not going to fare well under either. Mm. And what she basically shared was that, yeah, she goes, I like to be straight up with Australians. I like to say it as I see it and not beat around the bush. And she simply said, tough times are ahead. And Australia,
everybody's saying that.
Yeah, they're all saying that. She says, but she says Australians are tough, they're resilient, they stick together, and so on and so forth. And she went on, but guess what? There wasn't in her message. There was no message of hope in God, you know, hope in Christ. There was none of that. It was all, we can do this together. Once again, it was very humanistic and very much, you know, in my own strength, in human strength, we will get through. Yes, this is another crisis, but we will get through it together.
Amen.
But the reality is, according to what Justin shared with us and what the Bible tells us, not just what Justin told us, but what the Bible tells us, that only those who are in Christ, only those that have put their trust and faith and their foundation is Jesus Christ, will get through that final crisis, that relentless storm that is coming, more furious than we can imagine.
And that's because when we put our faith in Christ, he keeps us safe and he carries us. He's the only safeguard. And I think people really need to get into the Word, really need to study the Bible, because we can't put our faith in the Jesus we've heard about. We must meet him for ourselves in Scripture and all of his glory, his beautiful character. And that's the real Jesus, the Jesus that you meet in as you read.
Amen, amen. And it's not just reading God's word, but it's putting it into practice. If you could read a passage, and I think, you know, we're starting to weaving some scripture.
Sure.
Some hope that people won't find on their Channel 9, Channel 7, or or on their YouTube or their various news platforms that they subscribe to or scroll through each and every day.
Yes.
But let's take a look at Matthew chapter 7. And maybe before you start reading, before we, you know, look at a number of scriptures in connection with our subject today, maybe why don't you have a prayer, Sharissa, and then we'll go.
Father in heaven, we're thankful, Lord, for this opportunity that we have to study the Bible together with our listeners. We ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us, help us to understand, help us to see you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, well, this is the Sermon on the Mount, mm-hmm. the famous Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus has shared incredible thoughts and counsel in connection with the principles of his kingdom. You know, what does his kingdom look like? And encouraging people, you know, to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And notice how he ends. If you want to read verses 24 to 27 of Matthew chapter 7. And if our listeners have got Bibles, feel free to pull out your Bible because we'll be going through a number of scriptures in this program today.
All right. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell, and great was its fall.
Wow. So here we've got a storm.
Yeah.
A storm comes to both these builders. Both their homes are impacted by the storm, but only one home stands.
Mm-hmm.
And that home is built on what?
The rock.
And who is the rock in Scripture?
The rock of ages, Jesus.
Exactly. And you brought out a point, an interesting point from Luke, where Luke adds a very interesting detail.
Yeah, it says that he digs down deep.
Mm.
And it's like God is encouraging us as we think about this to dig down deep through the shifting sands of culture and theory and politics, dig down deep into the solid rock of his word.
Amen. And I really want to bring out this point, Sharissa, here, because it's just so important, where Jesus begins by saying in his concluding words at the end of his sermon, this is his conclusion, his appeal, you could say. This is his appeal to his sermon on the Mount. You know, therefore, who hears these sayings of mine and does them.
Yes.
It's one thing to hear.
Yes.
And read. It's another thing to put into practice.
And that's the best part, though, when you actually put it into practice, because the Bible talks about all these blessings that come when we do God's will. And it's not one thing to know about it, but to actually hear it and then to actually do it and experience it for yourself. Mm. It's nothing like it.
Indeed.
I was thinking as you were reading that, a connecting verse in Hebrews chapter 10, this verses 35 and onwards, it says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Again, action is required. Do the will of God, you receive the promise. And what is that promise? For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. But now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Those who believe to the saving of the soul are those who with endurance do the will of God.
Mm.
And they experience
Amen.
And receive the promise.
Amen. Amen. So this enduring is so important, you know, staying the course, just holding on, not letting go. You know, we talk about the looking up show, you know, based on that scripture that Justin alluded to there in Luke 21, when, you know, men's hearts are failing them from fear because of the expectation of those things that are coming upon the world. And, you know, this world is in turmoil. Jesus says, look up because your redemption is drawing near. And there in Hebrews, it's fascinating because a couple of chapters on, in chapter 12, if you want to read verses 1 and 2 there, we are once again encouraged to not only look up, but to hold on, and who to look to and how to receive strength from him based on what this certain person went through. So read Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2.
Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Wow. So before we go on to verse 3, which we will read in a moment, what really stands out for you there in those first two verses? I mean, there's so much, isn't
there? Yeah, there is so much, but I guess Jesus stands out to me, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Like, what was that joy?
Mm.
And I believe it was the joy of seeing us, fallen humanity, redeemed and in heaven. Like, that is the joy of Jesus, to see people saved for all eternity by God's grace. That's why he did it. That's why he went through what he was going through. He endured the cross.
Amen. Amen. And would you say, you know, looking up from Luke 21, 28 is connected to looking unto Jesus? That's where we're looking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. So he starts it. And he concludes it,
and all the way through.
And that word endured, you know, it appears twice there, and it's going to appear one more time in verse 3. So that's a really key phrase.
Mm.
Endure, endure, endure. Read verse 3.
Mm-hmm. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your own soul, in your souls.
Mm. So endurance, endurance. I looked up that word, endurance, and in the original Greek, it's the same word, or certainly from the same root, the same family, as Matthew 24, verse 13, where it says, and he who endures to the end shall be saved.
Interesting. I think the next verse there gives a hint at where he was enduring too. In verse 4, it says, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. That happened for Jesus. It began in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he sweat great drops of blood. And so he was enduring even then for us.
Amen. And so the cross needs to be front and center. Mm. You know, that's what this passage here is telling us. And when we go to the cross, when we spend time at the cross each and every day, that's where we receive that power and that strength.
Mm.
We look to Jesus, because that's what we're told very clearly, looking to Jesus. Mm. You know, here's our example, and he endured in the Garden of Gethsemane. He endured on the cross that we might endure. So this is how we meet the storm.
Mm.
You know, back to that quote from Ellen White, where she says, a storm is coming, relentless in its fury. And then she asked the question, are we prepared to meet it? We can only meet the storm that is coming. We can bury our heads in the sand all we like, but the reality is the storm is coming. God has predicted that it will. It will come. The final days will come. Jesus will arrive, and before he comes, this world will experience turmoil such as it has never experienced. The only way we can meet it with confidence is with Christ.
Amen.
You know, I've got a sermon that I want to preach. I haven't preached it yet, but with the title, How to Face the Coming Crisis with Confidence Through Christ.
Mm.
And really, that is the only way that we will, today and beyond, you know, face whatever comes in. You know, you may be in a crisis right now.
That's right.
But God will help you through that crisis in the here and now as you look to Jesus.
Keep looking to Christ.
Amen.
Well, on that note, I think we should have a song.
Amen.
Let's listen to a song entitled Give Me a Heart, and then we'll continue unpacking the scripture and some powerful thoughts for today.
Is moved to praise.
Morrow, give me a heart, and you are listening to the Looking Up program. A reminder, the code word for today is LU25 Echo, and you just have to text that through to 0488817624. I had a friend text me during the last segment saying, amen. She didn't type the phone number fast enough, but God has definitely given us such beauty in his word, knowledge for such a time. That was from Nikita.
Amen. Oh, Nikita.
Yeah, she was listening. So because we said the word, the number too fast, I'll say it again slower. 0488 817 624. Text the code word, which is LU25 Echo, and then this book is coming to you.
Excellent. Excellent. Wonderful. All right. Well, we're living in seismic times.
We are.
We are. And it's fascinating. And we're talking about storms. You know, we had our friend Justin from The Perfect Storm.
Yeah.
A great program on the Faith FM network. Tune into that. I preached on Sabbath at RTM Raymond Terrace Church. I'd encourage everyone to pop in and visit Raymond Terrace Church. If you live somewhere in the vicinity, you'll be thoroughly blessed and fed spiritually and physically each and every week. And you'll have an opportunity to enjoy great fellowship as well. Great people there. On Sabbath, I preached a sermon entitled Peace in the Storm. And it was the story of Jesus calming the storm. His disciples are in the boat and they're freaking out. They feel like it's all over. You know, their final days, well, the final day has arrived. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is asleep. You remember the story? Jesus is asleep in the stern of the boat.
Yes.
The Bible tells us. And I shared how if you've got Jesus in your boat, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, according to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. That's one of the names of Jesus. His name will be called Emmanuel, Mighty God, you know, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got Jesus in your boat, you have the Prince of Peace. You have peace in the storm. You've got Jesus in the storms of life. And in that story, which is found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, I discovered that in Matthew's account there, it says, suddenly a great tempest arose.
Right.
I looked at that word tempest, and guess what that word is in the Greek? It's the word seismos.
Oh, really?
We get the word seismic. And what's a seismograph used to measure?
For earthquakes.
Earthquakes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Interesting.
And did Jesus tell us that there'd be earthquakes and even greater earthquakes just before he returns?
Yeah.
Is this economic earthquake that we're experiencing right now just rattling? And it's interesting that the language that the media use, you know, rattling world markets, you know, this economic earthquake, this, you know, economic Armageddon and all these different phrases that they use. And I thought to myself, if you've got Jesus in your boat, if you've got him in your life, you don't need to be afraid.
Mm.
No matter what comes, whether a recession comes or or whether stagflation. You've heard of inflation.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of stagflation?
No, I haven't.
Stagflation is when it all
stagnates.
Comes. Very much so. Very much so. But this is what it is.
Uh-huh.
Stagflation. I didn't know what it was, so I had to Google it. Stagflation is an economic condition characterized by the simultaneous, interesting, or convergence, we use that word over and over again, simultaneous occurrence of slow economic growth, high unemployment, and rising prices or inflation. Mm-hmm. So when these three hit, you know that times are really, really, really tough, and it's just like really, really bad.
Mm.
There have been very, very few times in the last 100 or so years where, you know, a country or the world has experienced stagflation. We may be getting there. It's probably going to be beyond that, beyond that. So how do we cope? How do we cope when we see, you know, world markets tanking? When we see the Australian dollar tanking, going off a cliff, like, I got this, and I'm just going to just show you, Sharissa, so you can verify to our listeners. These are the graphs. This is Australian dollar. As you can see, this is where the Liberation Day announcement's made. And look, it's gone off the cliff.
Yeah.
Global markets have fallen sharply. Have a look at that.
Liberation Day wasn't what the word really should feel.
Oh, no. They should really have a different word, shouldn't they? Literally, the charts are all going. Look, Europe, China, United States, UK, the stock markets are all going off the cliff. There's Japan. Look at Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like totally off the cliff. This is starting in February, March, April.
Mm.
So that's where the graph is. You know, economic uncertainty in Australia is now higher than during the COVID pandemic. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, so here you go. You got these major crises. This one here is Liberation Day. This one here is the pandemic, which is below it. This one here is the GFC, Global Financial Crisis. None of them compare. We've only been in this a week, 1 week.
Mm.
So we don't know what next week's going to bring.
No,
or the week after.
Or the next day.
So you can see the uncertainty is unprecedented. And that's why Justin shared with us, we are living in incredible times, exciting times.
Yes.
Because we've been waiting for this moment that we could be on the eve of the final events of Bible prophecy breaking forth that will usher in the second coming of Jesus. Sharissa.
Amen.
And so, yes, it's going to be a tough time. It's interesting what Donald Trump said. It's interesting the language that he uses. And I'm always just trying to take a look at the language that is used by the media and see the correlation with what the Bible has to say.
Mm.
What he had to say in connection with Liberation Day and the pain. I mean, the U.S. stock market lost $6 trillion in 2 days.
Ouch. I can't even fathom that.
That's like 9 trillion Australian dollars. I think the Australian economy produces in 1 year around $2 trillion worth of goods and services.
Wow.
So that's Australia's economy wiped out,
three years
of Australian economy wiped out completely in the space of 2 days.
Mm.
So this is something absolutely huge. And Donald Trump spoke of, he said that after liberation, he says, the patient has had the operation.
Mm.
It's time for the recovery.
Mm-hmm.
The patient has had the operation. Now, we don't know how this patient's going to fare in the coming weeks. Yes, the operation did take place on April 2, but we don't know. But one thing we do know is that we are living in increasingly uncertain times. So how do we find certainty? Let's go back to Scripture.
All right.
Back to the Sermon on the Mount.
Okay.
So Matthew chapter 6,
mm-hmm.
and today's a special program. We're dealing with what the Bible has to say on the economic implications that have taken the world by storm,
mm-hmm.
giving people hope and encouragement. And we are going to continue with our Israel in prophecy and finalize that and finish that up probably in a couple of weeks' time or so. All right, so Matthew 6:19-21. Could you read that, please?
Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Okay, do you think this would be appropriate in the day and age that we're living in?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
They may not have had a stock market back then.
Yeah.
But they had gold and silver and treasure, mm-hmm. It would be the equivalent today.
They didn't have a superannuation back then.
Exactly.
But they had other treasures.
They did. They did. I mean, you know, the banking crisis can happen. I mean, we saw what happened in 2008 with the great financial crisis, the global financial crisis. Mm. So Jesus here is saying, put your faith and trust in heavenly treasure.
Yes. I can't, you know, we just moved house. We bought a house, we moved, and before we moved, it was still being renovated, and I thought to myself, oh, I'm not looking forward to leaving this house and going to the new house. But it was funny, as soon as I moved all of my things into that other house, I didn't want to go back to the old house. Like at the new house where we were going, it just felt like home. And I think, you know, for what Jesus is saying here, when we put our treasure in heaven, like we won't want this world. Like this, what happens here is immaterial because our heart is in heaven. Our heart and the things we love and long for, Jesus, who we love and long for, is in heaven. It changes everything, actually, about how you relate to the
Amen.
World.
Amen. Amen. And it's interesting when you read through the Gospels, you discover Jesus spends so much time
talking about money,
yeah. Talking about treasure, mm-hmm. Talking about the things that there's nothing necessarily wrong with,
that's right.
But the things that can keep us away from the heavenly treasure.
Mm.
And that's the bottom line. And it's interesting that Jesus talked about, you know, being concerned about everyday things that are important, mm-hmm. in connection with eating and drinking and what you wear. But he went on and he said what is absolutely most important. In fact, because I'm going to tie this up with what Jesus says in connection with the last days.
Mm.
So if you want to read, you're in Matthew chapter 6. If you'd like to read, where are we here? If you want to read from about verse 28 through to verse 32, please.
Sure. The Bible here says, "So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?"
And verse 31 and 32.
"Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things."
Okay, it's interesting. Here Jesus says, the eating, the mm-hmm. drinking, and the wearing.
Mm.
The people of the world. The Gentiles here represent the people of the world that do not have a relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. This is their all-consuming focus.
This is what they're focused. This is the news headlines.
Mm.
These are the news headlines.
How are we going to survive? How are we going to make it?
Exactly. How are we going to get through this? You know, is it all going to come to some absolute economic Armageddon? Are we going to get through? Is there an off ramp? All these things they're saying. They're all stressed to the max and they're worried.
Mm-hmm.
And people are genuinely worried. You know, there's superannuation, which is tied up in shares.
Mm-hmm. Which have plummeted.
Absolutely. You know, banking investments, interest, people that are living off their interest and so on, and a whole bunch of things. You know, there is so much uncertainty. Businesses, you know, potentially closing down in many parts of the world because of what's taking place. And Jesus says all these things are the all-consuming worry of those that don't have a relationship with me, the Gentiles. They are the Gentiles. They are the ones that are seeking for the here and now. But verse 33 and 34, read for us. But Jesus goes on.
All right, he goes on. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble."
Okay, so what's Jesus trying to help us with?
He's trying to help us trust him.
Yeah.
to not fret and stress over things beyond our control and to put our lives into the hands of the one who is in control.
Amen. And by the way, folks, there's nothing wrong with planning ahead, nothing wrong with purchasing a house. And even
it's
if
wise
you've,
to do that.
Yeah, even if you've got to borrow some money, doing that wisely, responsibly, nothing wrong with that. Just absolutely nothing
do it
wrong.
Prayerfully.
Everything right with that. But let that not be your all consuming focus, that you put all your eggs in that basket, in the basket of this world, because that's building your house upon the sand. And we know that when you build your house on the sand and that storm comes, and it will come, Jesus says, when the storm came, not if the storm might come, but when the storm comes, your house will collapse because it's on the sand and only the house on the rock. Now, it's interesting, Charissa, that Jesus tapped into this in connection with the end of time. We're going to do a study on Matthew 24. We need to do a deep dive into Matthew 24 and the signs of Jesus coming. We'll be doing that in the coming weeks because this passage is coming to life more and more. But in Matthew 24, Jesus talked about the days of Noah. It's interesting. He gave a whole bunch of signs. He says, no one will know the day nor the hour, my Father only. But then in verse 37 to 39, notice what Jesus said.
But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be.
Wow. What's the big lesson here? We're going to deal with that after song.
I got so engrossed, I didn't even see the time. Well, let's listen to I Say, May Ya Bring to Us the Jesus Way. May you be blessed.
Hey, everyone. You're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right. And if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event because you can actually participate. It's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun. So catch you then.
If you curse me, then I will bless you. And if you hurt me, I will forgive. And if you hate me, then I will love you. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. If you're helpless, I will defend you. And if you're burdened, I'll share the weight. And if you're hopeless, then let me show you who I choose the Jesus way. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. And all my life laid down for the glory of His name. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. Jesus way.
decided to follow Jesus, and I have decided to follow Jesus wherever He goes. Oh, I will follow. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. And I have decided to follow Jesus. And I have decided to follow Jesus wherever He goes, I will follow. Oh, I choose the Jesus way.
Listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Hey, it's Lyle here. There's nothing I love more than digging deep into the Bible, and I really love helping others understand God's Word. Every Thursday at 5 p.m, I have a segment on the Afternoons with Shell show where I answer all your Bible questions. Big or small, simple or hard, it will get answered. Whether you have a question you want to send in, or you just want to learn from others, tune in at 5 p.m. Thursday and text 0488880856.
You are listening to the Looking Up program. We're so glad that you're joining us for what's been a really uplifting study of God's Word as well. A reminder, the code word is LU25ECHO, E-C-H-O. That's for the Bible Marking Guide, which Pastor Justin Lohman put together. Fantastic resource if you're interested. Just text through the code word LU25ECHO to our number here in studio, 0488-17624. And while we're there, we've received a question.
Cool.
From a listener. And the question is seeking the kingdom of God first, including the desire for the expansion of God's family?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. In connection with seeking treasure that is heaven bound, and the only thing that we're taking from this planet to the world to come is our characters that have been molded into the character of Christ, because mm-hmm. we've been looking up, we've been spending time with Him, and those precious souls that God has enabled us to share His love with, to point to Jesus, they will be joining us to the heavenly courts above. So that's the only thing that will be going to heaven.
Amen.
So those precious souls.
Amen.
There's nothing else that's going.
That's true. That's true. And really, that's the treasure of heaven, isn't it? It's the riches of His glory in the saints and in people, because that's what Jesus, He gave
and that's,
His life.
And that's the bank that Jesus actually came to initiate. Did you know that? In Luke 19:10, we have Jesus' bank. Did you know? Did you know that?
No.
Jesus, when He came to this earth, He put a bank I have come to seek and save the lost. The savings bank of Jesus is saving the lost.
Yes.
And so that's that treasure that is going from this world to the world to come. So that really needs to be our focus.
And the reference to the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints is Ephesians 1:18.
Ephesians 1:18. Do you want to read that? Do you have it there?
I have it here. This is in the King James. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
Amen.
And it keeps going.
Amen. Well, I can't believe it. We're in the last segment.
Are we really?
We are. I thought there was one more. I thought there was one more. But anyway, I'm just going to sum up here because then Charissa's got some really important stuff to share.
I don't mind if we keep going.
Well, we can maybe, maybe we'll finish off here and then we'll deal with some interesting stuff that Charissa had prepared. We'll deal with that at the next program, God willing. if we don't have more earthquake events to deal with.
That's right.
But anyway, so back to the sign that Jesus said would usher in his coming. It's interesting. He says, no one knows the day or the hour, but he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be when I return. So it's going to be exactly the same scenario. And he goes on and he also says, as it was in the days of Lot. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you can look at that in Luke 17. So if you could go to Luke 17, and as you're going to Luke 17, and there in verse 26 and 27, Jesus speaks of the days of Noah. They were eating and drinking and marrying. And then he goes on and he speaks of the days of Lot. So once you read these verses from verse 28 to 30 in connection with Lot, I want to bring out a point that not many people have caught on, but I really believe this connects to the times that we're living in and what's happening right now.
All right. Luke 17, 28 to 30. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed.
Okay, now, Charissa, you know the story of Noah and the story of Lot very well. In fact, we're going to do a Bible study, a series on the story of Noah and Lot, because there's so many important lessons for those who are living at the close of Jesus' coming. I mean, sorry, on the eve of Jesus' coming, as we've just read. Mm-hmm. Now, it's interesting, Jesus does not zero in on the corruption, the violence that was happening in the days of Noah and Lot, the immorality that was taking place. He doesn't zero in on any of those elements. Instead, he zeroes in on everyday things like eating and drinking and getting married. Is there anything wrong with those things?
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with those. He zeroes in on buying and selling, planting and building.
Nothing wrong with that either.
That's everyday life. Mm-hmm. But here is the point that Jesus is making. At the end of time, our greatest danger will not be the wickedness, the immorality, the corruption in the world. Yes, that will be something that we'll need to face.
That's a good point.
Our greatest challenge, and he's speaking specially here to the disciples of Jesus. He's talking to those that are seeking first the kingdom of heaven. He's talking to those that have taken Christ's name on board. He's talking to them primarily.
Yes.
It's to everyone, but primarily, this is not to the Gentiles. This primarily is to the children of the sons of light.
Right.
And he says, your biggest danger is getting so caught up in the here and now that you fail to prepare for the hereafter.
Ah, amen.
You're caught up in the eating and the drinking, the marrying, the building.
Just living life.
Exactly.
For the present.
Exactly.
And forgetting that we're living on the edge of eternity and life's great purpose is to prepare for an eternity with Jesus.
Exactly. We're preparing a kingdom here on this earth rather than storing our riches in heaven.
Amen.
So that's a really, really important point. So, folk, I hope and pray that you have picked that up, because that is really the key take-home message that Jesus has for us who are living at the end of time.
That's
so
powerful.
With that in mind, let's take a Well, Jesus, I mean, he shares so much on this, and we could spend hours and hours on what Jesus had to say in connection with the potential trap of the things of the here, and not just riches, whether you've got a lot or a little bit, but the focus, you know, the focus being the here and now. You know, I think of that squabble between those two brothers who came to Jesus for him to make a decision in connection with the inheritance. You remember what Jesus said? No, this is not my place, and this is not the focus. And he gave that parable of that man who built big barns and so forth. And he said, "Oh, live and have a great time." In fact, it's actually a really good parable. So let's go there. Luke 12. Mm-hmm. Luke 12. We've got time. Luke 12. And I was just meditating on that today. Luke 12. And maybe you want to pick it up in verse 13. It goes all the way through to verse 21.
All right.
That's Luke 12, 13 to 21.
Mm-hmm. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do? Since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'"
There we go. Wow. And then it's interesting. There Luke records the words of Jesus.
Yes.
"Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body." So it's all there. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. And he goes on and he shares what we've read in Matthew chapter 6.
Yes.
So what's the point here? The point here that Jesus is trying to make, not only to these two brothers that are haggling over the inheritance, what he's telling these brothers is focus first and foremost on seeking first the kingdom of God. They had become all consumed with this physical, monetary
temporary
inheritance.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then Jesus gave, and it's interesting, the language, you know, this builder, or this farmer, I should say, this farmer, you know, he has a rich crop, you know, yields plenty. And he says, "I'm going to pull down my barns and I'm going to build greater barns. I'm going to have, my business is going to be greater and greater." Does that sound familiar?
It does.
"I'm going to build greater barns. We're going to have a golden age." And that's all the here and now. And that's what we're hearing from, you know, the United States of America, and that is permeating each and every one of our lives. You know, we want to make things great. We want to have this golden age within our own lives and so forth. We're focused on the here and now. And Jesus says, no, don't focus on the eating and the drinking and the here and now, the buying and the building and so forth. Focus on my kingdom.
Yeah, that's a beautiful point. I actually wrote a little quote in my Bible here from a book called Christ's Object Lessons. And just one sentence, it says, "It's the spirit of Satan to get and to draw to self. It is the spirit of Christ to give, to sacrifice self for the good of others."
Amen.
One kingdom is selfish and takes it all in. The other one gives.
And that's what covetousness is.
Oh, we've got a quote here, a comment from a listener, actually, listening to us. They say, "It's crazy how we can be so caught up in materialism. It really draws us away from focusing on what Jesus desires us to look at and strive for." So
Amen.
True. And
Thank
and you know what's
so
driving
much.
That as well is social media.
Absolutely.
You know, people comparing themselves with other people. Oh, I want to have that too.
I mean, what's the point of advertising, really?
Yeah.
Advertising, the whole point is to sell you things you don't necessarily need.
True.
I mean, when I'm hungry, I don't need a commercial to tell me to go and get food.
That's true.
You know, when I'm cold, I don't need a commercial to tell me to buy clothes.
Mm-hmm.
You just do it instinctively. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that Paul weighs in, and in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, he says, "For the love of money," not money itself, nothing wrong with money itself, but for the love of money, those that put the things of this world first and foremost. Notice what it says. Well, you want to read it. No, you got it there? 1 Timothy 6:10.
For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
Wow. So the love of money has brought so many spiritually undone. Mm. And that's the point here. And so he goes on in verse 11, but he says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness." So we had to flee, you know, the things of this world that can entrap us. Hope and pray that our listeners are getting the point. There's nothing wrong with having wealth. I mean, there are many wealthy individuals in Scripture.
It's just wrong when your wealth has you.
I like that. That is just so, so powerful. And in the book of Revelation, we are told very clearly that the riches come to nothing in a matter of moments. Let's go to Revelation 18. Revelation 18 tells us that at the end of time,
the cliff of all cliffs.
This is no charts will be able to drag this
chart. Off the charts.
This will be off the charts. Okay, here we go. All right, so verse 9 and 10 of Revelation 18.
The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come."
Wow. And then verse 11.
And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore.
Okay.
There's no trading.
This is the end of the stock market. Yeah. This is the end of the world's stock market. Babylon is a representation of everything that is in opposition to God.
Right.
Those who remain in Babylon are those that are tied to the things and the ways and the resources of this world. Mm. They haven't let go. They haven't moved out of Babylon. Mm-hmm. As God has given the call in Revelation 18:4, come out of Babylon, my people. Come into the Jerusalem. Leave Babylon,
yes.
Confusion, which will be destroyed, and come into the new Jerusalem.
That's right. When God's evacuation is an invitation.
I love it. Oh, that's another pearl. And notice what it says in verse 17. For in 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing. For the second time, it's repeated there. And then once again, in verse 19, for in 1 hour, she is made desolate. So if you're putting your faith and trust in this world, my friend,
It'll let you down.
Will be bitterly disappointed, bitterly disappointed. So our only faith, our only trust can be in God, in His Word, and in Christ, and seeking first the treasure of the kingdom of heaven.
Amen. And that comes by putting your hand in the hand of Christ. And
we're going
to hear Christopher bring to us in His hand. And I think that's appropriate. We just want to walk with our hand in the hand of God in these troublesome and tumultuous times, because only He can lead us to a place of safety and eternal refuge.
We will not always know what tomorrow holds, and we won't always get things right. We will not always see what the future brings, and we won't always get things right. Over and over we make the mistake of pointing and blaming. What we need is the love that erases our pain of hurting and shaming.
a God of compassion. I know that He understands. Bring your questions, He has the answer. You can trust His plan. I know it's hard to surrender to Him, but He fights for the heart of man. Bring your questions, He has the answer.
You are in. You can trust His plan. I know it's hard to surrender to Him, but He fights for the heart of man. Bring your questions, He has the answer. You are in. He fights for the heart of man. Bring your questions, He has the answer. You are in His hand.
Just remain
in His hand.
All you need is
in His hand.
Put your hand
in His hand.
Life is better.
Amen, Christopher, bringing to us that powerful reminder in a troublesome time that we are in God's hands. And that brings us to the end.
Can't believe it. It just happens so quickly every week.
It really does. Time flies when you're having fun.
Indeed.
But it was a very worthwhile Bible study on, the importance of not putting our confidence in the things in this world,
amen.
But looking to Christ.
Amen. Very timely.
Yes.
Very timely.
How would you sum it up? For our listeners.
How would I sum it up? Well, we know where things are heading. We know where this train, this economic train is heading. And unlike those who do not know Jesus, unlike those that do not trust in Jesus, unlike those that do not put their faith and trust in Him, we can put our faith and trust in Jesus.
Amen.
You know, I think of what James writes in connection with the end of time in James chapter 5. He says, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Are we living in the last days of human history?
We most certainly are.
Absolutely. And then it goes on and he talks about, you know, the way that these powerful, rich have abused and taken advantage of the poor laborers. You know, you've kept back by fraud. You know, they cry out to me. The cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. So he's describing, you know, what the world will be like at the end of time. And it's interesting that, you know, the billionaires that were there at Donald Trump's inauguration in the front row, they've turned on Donald Trump because of what's happened at the stock market, because they're all losing literally tens of billions of dollars. And so, you know, they're calling it an economic nuclear winter, or that Donald Trump has begun an economic nuclear war. They're using that kind of language, including Elon Musk, who's very cranky. You know, Jeff Bezos, Zuckerberg, all these guys are really cranky and really upset because they're physical wealth is falling. But we know that that ultimate fall will happen one day, you know, when Revelation 18 says. But I love how the scriptures end. And James says, therefore, when you're seeing all this, what we are seeing right now, this, you know, rich and poor and this huge gulf between the two, the first world and the third world. Therefore, he says, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. When we see all these things happening, that means Jesus is coming soon. So it's now time for us to be looking up, putting our faith and trust in Jesus.
Amen, amen. He's coming, and he's coming, and he's going to pick us up.
Amen.
Got to be ready.
Well, why don't you pray for us? And it's time to sign off, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have in Jesus. Thank you for the confidence that we can have in him as we read the promises that you have made to us in your word. We have a sure word of prophecy, and we can trust that you are in control, ultimate control, even though this world seems like it's spinning out of control right now. I pray for our listeners. I pray for them that you would help them to look up to Jesus day by day so that they can be ready for that wonderful day when soon we will see Jesus coming in the clouds of heaven. Until then, keep us faithful, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, that brings us to the end, and we're going to be away for 2 weeks.
Yes, we will.
So there'll be a surprise.
But we'll be back, God willing. We'll be back.
Yes, we will be back in 2 weeks' time. We're going to a big camp. But we encourage all of you to keep listening to this channel. The Drive Time Show is coming to us live from Adelaide just now. And, of course, as we wrap up, always remember that fear looks around, regret looks back, but faith always looks up. So keep looking up, and God bless you.
Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up. When there's pain deep in your heart, keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up. Should the tears begin to start, with a prayer all your cares he will cast into the depths of the sea. His love is always there for me.
Oh, ye prodigal son.
Go on.
want to be a servant of the Lord. Oh, I believe, yes, I believe that I will go back home. Oh, I believe, yes, I believe that I will go back home. Oh, I believe, yes, I believe that I will go back home and be a servant of the Lord.
Oh, the prodigal son, he was a forward child.
Why, his mind was not to obey.
But after he left his father's house,
he thought had gone astray. Oh, I believe, yes, I believe that I will go back home. Oh, I believe, yes, I believe that I will go back home. Oh, I believe, yes, I believe that I will go back home and be a servant of the Lord.
When his father saw his son had come in,
he met him with a smile.
He ran and threw his arms around him.
Lord, 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 this is my darling child.
Oh, I believe, yes, I believe that I will go back home. Oh, I believe, yes, I believe that I will go back home. Oh, I believe, yes, I believe that I will go back home and be a servant of the Lord.
I believe,
yes, I believe that I will go back home.
Oh, I believe
that I will go back home.
Oh, I believe,
yes, I believe
that I will go back home and be a servant of the Lord, Lord, Lord.